my text, but I was, after I had finished preparing, this scripture had come to my mind. Well, I'm going to write that down. We'll see where we go. Praise the Lord. This is Bible study night. So I really wanted to teach a Bible study. Praise the Lord. We'll see if the Lord, what He will do. I've tried to prepare myself, asking the Lord to help me, to anoint me to be what I need to be tonight, to forget what I need to forget and remember what I need to remember. I said, Lord, take that word that's in my heart and bring it out. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God is good to us. Praise the Lord. Acts 10:43. Hallelujah. When I get to my text scripture, if you want to stand, that's fine. If not, that's okay too. Praise the Lord. But this is not it. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. To Him gave all the prophets witness that through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. That's good. Hallelujah. That's something marvelous there. Hallelujah. If you believe in His name, you got a hope tonight. Because if you die with your sins on you, my friend, you got a rude awakening. But if you will believe in His name, the scripture says He would remit your sins. What a promise. Can you say praise the Lord? What a promise. Hallelujah. Praise God. John 1:11-13. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He's not, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Give me another one, sister. Verse 12. I didn't write this down, so I needed it. Verse 12, sister. Verse 12. Okay. Slow machine back there, huh? Computer. Crank that thing up, sister. There it is. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. To them that believe on His name. He's not talking about an intellectual believing. Just believing that Jesus existed. He's talking about not a natural thing, but He's talking about a supernatural thing here. And here's proof right here. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. That's natural. Nor of the will of man, but there's the difference. But of God. It's supernatural. Hallelujah. Can you praise the Lord?
Amen.
Tonight, we can have remission of sins. And we can have the power to become the sons of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. What a miracle. What a wonder. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Romans 1:16. This is what I wanted to, this is what I was getting to. Those are some good scriptures, aren't they?
Yes, sir.
So this is a supernatural thing. This is not a natural thing. It's not man's intellect, but it's a supernatural, divine revelation, illumination that God gives through His Word. Praise the Lord. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Can you say praise the Lord? It's simple. Praise the Lord. To Jew first, and then also to the Greek. It's the power of God unto salvation. Praise the Lord. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Praise the Lord. If we believe it, what does the Bible say about the gospel? What is the gospel? Tonight I'd like to investigate that and what is believing. Praise the Lord. Can you say praise the Lord? We're talking about some good stuff here. We're talking about something that's not natural. We're talking about supernatural intellect, if you might say. This is not something that we came up with our own. This is not, the scripture says, not by men's words of enticement, of flowery words of intellectual thinking and able to come up with a theory, but this is a divine thing. This is supernatural thinking, perspective that only God can give. It's something He puts into your mind. It's Him that does it. You don't gather it on your own. You don't study it in some philosopher's ideas, but it's His ideas. The power of God is the gospel unto salvation to everyone that believes. Praise the Lord. We're going to talk about what the gospel is tonight. And we're going to talk about what is biblical believing. First of all, we know already that it's not intellectual thinking. It's talking about a biblical belief. Biblical faith. Praise God. Second Peter 1:20. So we have to let the Scripture interpret itself. We don't interpret the Scripture. The Scripture says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is for any private interpretation. And what that means is that that's the Scripture, the Word of God, is not going to say one thing to you and then one thing to somebody else. It is the standard that we are all measured by. It may inspire us in different ways, but the principles never change for you, for me, for anybody. It stands alone. It's not for you to interpret your own way and for you to interpret your way, but it is for no private interpretation. In other words, it doesn't say one thing to me and then another thing to you, but it stands alone. James 1:25 says this. It says, to look, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in all of his deeds. Perfect law of liberty, that's the Word of God. You're looking into it. You're going over it with a fine-tooth comb. What you're doing is you're taking, you begin to memorize that. You begin to place it in your heart when you do that. You meditate on it. You go to the Lord and you remind Him of His Word. You say, Master, this is Your Word. It says, Lord, that whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. I knew a fellow that would continue in it day and night. Scripture says that if you meditate on the Word of the Lord day and night, you'll be like a tree that's planted by the river of water. It will bring its fruit. It will bear its leaves. It will not lose its leaves, but it will be fruitful. Whatever this man does, he will prosper. Why? Because he meditates on the Word of the Lord day and night. And the Word of the Lord says he'll prosper. Why? Not because he got a new insight on the stock market. Not because he had new of somebody that could give him a little information that could give him an edge. This guy prospers because he meditates on the Word of the Lord, the perfect law of liberty, and he continues in that day and night. He gives himself to it. Not being a forgetful hearer, not dull of hearing, but he's hearing something deep within his being. It's not an intellectual information that's coming, but this is the Word of God speaking to his heart. If he looks into it, God, it will make him blessed and his deeds blessed. That's a marvelous thing. We're not talking about just some words written in a book somewhere. We're talking about supernatural words. Praise the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 1, please. Verse 7. I'm going to go through 9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that, listen to this, on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he ties in two things here. Go back. He ties in, he recognized this, that he's saying those that don't know God and obey not the gospel. So if you don't obey the gospel, you don't know God. And if you don't know God, you cannot obey the gospel. Because it's a supernatural thing that's taking place here. Verse 9. 8-10. It says that he will come back with vengeance on them that don't know God and do not obey the gospel. We're going to find out what the gospel is. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from his mighty angels? God is serious business to him. It's square business with him. Scripture says he's coming back with vengeance. Wow. Behold the goodness and the severity. We know him in his great mercy, but we don't know him in his judgment that he's going to pour out on this world, on those that don't know the gospel. Because if you know the gospel, then you will know God. That's what that says. I didn't say that. That's what that says. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. I already read that. I'm sorry. Mark 1, verse 15. I like the PowerPoint. I wish I was just a little faster. Praise the Lord. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. An unrepented man or woman will not obey the gospel, but a repented man will. That's what biblical faith is obedience and repentance, because an unrepented man will not believe the gospel. When a repented man will believe the gospel, and I'll prove it to you here in just a second. Believe not what? The gospel. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized. That word right there, and, is the Greek word for that, if I pronounce it correctly, is kai. And it means even or also. That's pretty interesting. It says, he that believeth and is baptized. And is. There's something else to this. If you believe the gospel, and they said if you act on it, because that's what it's saying, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. I found something interesting about this. I got excited about it. If you'll go with me just for one moment, I don't jump ahead of myself. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Trying to stay with this. I the more I chewed this, the bigger it got. Somebody says it's like bubble gum. The more you chew it, the bigger it gets. I was so excited. I was wearing myself out, and I had to get up and go and do something else for a while and come back, because I was just so wound up. The more I studied it, the bigger it got. I tell you what, if you don't just sit down at your table and pick up your Bible and just pick you a scripture and just follow that scripture, see where it goes. It's interesting what the Bible will do. Matter of fact, it's like a scroll. It just unfolds. And when you walk in the light, it's just like that. All of a sudden, it comes alive. It's not word. I'm telling you, these are just not black and white on a piece of paper. This is divine. This is supernatural. This is God's mind giving it to you. He wants to illuminate your mind. He wants to show you truth. I'm telling you, the Word of God settling in your soul will rise to the point that you are. What I mean by that is, deep calleth unto deep. The Scripture desires for you to study the Word of God. It desires for you to get into it and just go as deep as you possibly can go. I'm telling you, the Word of the Lord will take you to eternity. It'll take you right to Him, because He's vast and He is a great God. And there is no way possible that we could fathom the deepness of God. But His Word is enough. Praise the Lord. In Him we are complete. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. I'm going to go on to verse 5. Therefore, seeing we, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor in handling the word of God, but by manifestations of the truth. Command, isn't that interesting? Manifestations of the truth. Who is the truth? Jesus said, I am the truth. So we're actually, when the word is manifested, the Spirit of God is moving. The scripture says that he is so defined, and he can define fine distinctions, that the scripture says that he's like a sharp two-edged sword. He divides asunder the soul and the spirit. That's pretty close together. Manifestations of truth into our hearts tonight. He imparts to us something very valuable, commanding ourselves to each of, to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3. But if our gospel, Paul writes, his gospel, the gospel that Paul preaches, be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Ooh, that's powerful. That's really powerful. That's pungent, I'm talking. The word of God is like that. It is powerful. It's sharper than an two-edged sword. Can you see that? Can you see how that slices? That makes a difference. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. My goodness. Think about it for a second. You don't hear the gospel, and you don't believe the gospel, and you don't obey the gospel. Scripture says you are lost. I'm telling the truth, Brother Grissom. That's what it says. That's very powerful. What about that guy that right before he, hypothetical, can I talk about hypotheticals for just a minute, and then we'll mash that. I got a little button here, and then I'll push it, and the floor will open up, and I'll disappear. That's how hypothetical we might get here. But that little guy in the woods somewhere, if he don't know the truth, then he's lost. What about it? What about the Word of God? If it's hid from you, the gospel is hid, then you're lost. That's pretty powerful. Ephesians 1:13. We're talking about, I'm going to show you what the gospel is according to the scripture. Not according to what grandma said it was or Uncle Tom says it was, but what does the scripture say the gospel is? Because anybody can say anything. You know, you can turn on your TV or you can go to the newspaper. You can open up the internet and hear what these jokers are saying. But they're not telling the truth according to the scripture. They're going to be held accountable. Scripture. Anyway, let me move on. Did I finish? What was I reading? Oh, this is, I hadn't read it yet. Okay. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. That's pretty interesting. After you trusted, you heard the word of truth. The gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed this gospel, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. It's pretty powerful. This gospel will seal you. Your faith in the Word of God, your trust that it's true, your believing unequivocally, without any reserve in your heart, the Scripture says you will be sealed with the seal of the Holy Spirit. The promise. This next scripture, I think, is talking about it's just an earnest of our inheritance. Go to the next one. Let's see what it says. Which is an earnest of our inheritance until the day of redemption, the redeemed of the purchased possession unto the praise of the glory of God. I think I read that right. Just, in other words, it's just a little bit. It's just a down payment. The Holy Ghost, the joy, how great it is, how powerful it is, how exciting it is to have the Holy Ghost. That's just a fraction of what you're going to get on the other side. I remember I had this dream one time that I think I've even told it before. But anyway, I won't tell the whole dream. But at the end of the dream, I felt great jubilation. a great excitement. I felt so free and happy and wonderful that I could float. I jumped up in my tree. I said, "Man, this is me." I felt so good and I was so happy. Jubilation, just a fraction. I was just, it seems as if I was just able to tip over and get a glimpse of what heaven would be like. A fraction of it. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Just a fraction of it. The joy, that joy that helps us to overcome every obstacle, that's just a fraction. I praise the Lord for that tonight. Praise the Lord for the Holy Ghost. All right, let's move on. Mark 16 and 15. Something interesting. When I read this scripture, I know I've read it once, but I want to make a point here. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to all of the world. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Okay. When I read this scripture, something in my mind sent me to Genesis. I believe it was the Spirit of the Lord. Sent me to Genesis 17, sister. And 10. I hope you find this interesting as I did. I really thought this was really, really neat. I really believe the Lord showed this to me. 17 and 10 says this. I'm going to read through 14. "This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old," this is neat. I'll come back. This is, don't let me forget to come back to this. This is pretty interesting. Yeah, this is really cool. "And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation. And he that is born in the house, or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of your seed, thy seed. He that is born in the house, and he that is bought with money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised," listen to this, "and the uncircumcised man, child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant." Let's go back to Mark. Right, Mark 16. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned." Go to Colossians 2. Colossians 2 and 9. I'm going to start there. 2 and 9. "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands." Ain't with a knife. "Putting off the body of the sinful flesh by the circumcision of Christ." Next scripture. Thank you. Next. "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are raised with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead." So, Scripture says that we are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. It's not a knife. This is a direct correlation to Genesis. This Scripture right here is because it's talking about circumcision. If they wasn't circumcised, they were cut off from the promises of God. This Scripture says that the circumcision made without hands is being buried with him in baptism. The circumcision of Christ is called. That's what it says. because it's just a confession of my faith or I'm joining a church, but it's absolutely
I'm turning the light.
Are y'all getting anything out of this? Praise the Lord. God is good to me. I asked the Lord to help me. I said, I want to say something. It's like Brother Grissom said, I want to have something to say. I want to say something. I asked the Lord, help me, Lord. I need you. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us. Open up my heart and let me speak to him. Let it be words from heaven. I worship you tonight, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. Can you say, praise the Lord? Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. 28:19 is called the Great Commission. There's three recordings. Actually, I think there's John, I just couldn't find it. I was running out of time. Matthew 28:19 says this. The first time the gospel was ever preached to a lost Gentiles. God is about to reveal truth to these Gentiles. So he begins to preach to them. Verse 44. Give me verse 44. But while Peter yet spake these words, Peter tells him the truth. Boy, go back and look at it himself. He starts telling him the truth here. But Peter yet spake these words. The Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. This verse. And they of the circumcision, that means the Jews, they that of the circumcision which believed were astonished. As many as trembled because that of the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. They were astonished when Jesus came out of the Holy Ghost. How did they know it? How did they know that they were getting the Holy Ghost? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. That's how they knew it. There was a manifestation. There was an outward appearance. There was something that was taking place that they could recognize with their eyes. Not only could they recognize it with their eyes, they could hear it with their ears. Next verse. For they heard them speak with tongues. Can any man forbid water? Can they just withdraw water from these with new tongues, they will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Because the work, the miracles confirm the word. Praise the Lord. And one more scripture and I'm quitting. I love this. It's my very favorite scripture. John 7, 37. This is a neat scripture. If you have never seen, how many have never seen this?
In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink.
He that believeth on me, listen to this, how do you believe? As the scripture has said. That's how you believe, because the word sanctifies. The word is true. And when you believe the scripture says you'll be born again. This is what happens. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, that they that believe on him should believe. For the Holy Ghost, to clarify this, was not yet given, because Jesus had not been born. Now, he hadn't been. He hadn't been. He hadn't died. As the scripture has said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's the gospel. That's supernatural truth. Praise the Lord. I appreciate you letting me carry on. God is good. Isn't it wonderful to have the truth? Praise God. The victory. Because we have remission of sins. Because we believe in his name. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm glad I know the gospel tonight. Amen. And that's what saved us. And stand together, give the Lord thanks here tonight for his great word. Jesus, thank you that somebody loved us enough to tell us the truth. Thank you that you loved us enough to come and give your life our sacrifice and rise again from the dead and to be glorified, ascended to heaven. Amen. And you didn't stay there, but you sent the power of the Holy Ghost into our lives today so that we could die with you in repentance, be buried with you in baptism, and rise to walk in the newness of life in the power of the Holy Ghost. So we thank you for your great plan of salvation tonight, and that you brought it to us so that we can enjoy it, and help us, O Lord, to accept the great responsibility that is ours and the great privilege that is ours to share this gospel with others. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.